Welcome to the Bee's Knees of Disney. Here we are with a new episode. Today's movie, Disney animated movie that I'm going to talk about is Lady and the Tramp, made in 1955. Note about this movie, I have never seen it. I've seen some famous, you know, images and clips from it, but I've never actually seen the movie, even as a kid. Did not have it, did not watch it, wasn't really a widely circulated movie compared to some of the other ones, so I just never got a chance to see it. So this was my first time watching it. Have a lot to say about it. It's an interesting movie. Maybe surprised me in a few ways. Had a few moments that caught me off guard in a good way, and overall I thought was a pretty solid movie. So we'll get into the review right now. All right, Lady and the Tramp. This was made in 1955, based on a story, as all these Disney movies have been, based on another source material. It's kind of your classic story of two different types of people, or in this case, dogs, that meet, that come from different worlds, and it's sort of a love story, and that's kind of the main premise of the movie. And I kind of knew this coming in, so I knew that part of it, but everything else I was new to. As I said in the beginning, I'd never seen this movie, so I was very interested to see what it was all about. Starts off just like, the previous Disney movies, with a song or music played with this kind of storybook, credits. That was a really nice song. It's a song I've heard before, I think called Beautiful Night. Very recognizable tune, very iconic, and I thought set the stage really well. It set this sort of mood of kind of classiness. I could tell this was going to be a good-natured movie, not really cynical, have a positive look. There were some quotes at the beginning talking about dogs and things like that and how this was dedicated to dogs. So this was, and that gets me to my first point. This movie's definitely, you know, like a love letter to dogs. It's about dogs. They're the main characters. There's sort of insight into their lives and maybe what they might be thinking about their owners and just living life as a dog. So that's definitely a main part of this movie that might be related to, and if you've listened to the other podcasts, I talked about Walt Disney had this love for dogs, which is evident in some of his characters like Pluto, Goofy. And it's really clear here that the dogs are the star of the show. And they're portrayed in a very endearing, loving way that I'm sure that was, you know, definitely probably talked about when they made this movie. Just showing that love for the dogs. So I really liked how this movie opened. They get a puppy, and I liked the slow start to the opening sequence. Reminded me of some of the older Disney movies where it's just like a really simple thing happening moment to moment. In this case, it was the Cocker Spaniel, the lady, the main character, the dog, puppy trying to get out of the room. They're trying to put the dog in, and it's just a struggle between the owner and the dog, and eventually she gets out and gets into the bed and says, this is just one night. And I like that whole sequence. And then it kind of showed the passage of time, because she was obviously staying there since that point, because she grew up and she was still in the bed. And I thought that was a really clever way of kind of fast forwarding the time. So I thought that opening sequence really brought me in, reminded me of the old school moment to moment kind of sequence. So I really liked that. So opening sequence is done, and you just kind of see the life of Lady. She lives in a very upscale house, upscale people, very big house, nice area, nice neighborhood. And the dog gets her collar, which shows her owners and her license. So it's kind of like the opening part. I always talk about the animation in this movie, so I want to get that going right away. This was interesting to me. What I noticed about this movie and the direction they took was that it was very realistic with the backgrounds. Very static, sort of realistic backgrounds, almost trying to look real more than any other Disney movie, as opposed to stylized or looking a certain way. I mean, they've always wanted to look pretty real, but this one looked like that was the goal, was to look like a real background, a real place, while the dogs were more lively and more animated. And I thought this was a interesting way to go about it. If a little bit bland in a sense, I wasn't really drawn into the backgrounds or what was happening. It's just like, okay, we're in real neighborhood with dogs that, you know, are real but can talk and stuff like that. So it was an interesting mix. I don't know if this was just the direction they wanted to take, but the animation was in the backgrounds was sort of unremarkable, but solid. So that's something I wanted to say about that. Before moving in back into the story. So you sort of see this upscale life that Lady's living in. I thought that was portrayed well. I liked the moving between her life of just being a dog, you know, doing dog things, barking, getting excited when the owner gets back, and then like talking to the dogs, having that inner world, you know, them talking about, oh, you got your collar, you know, you're growing up, it's a big step, all this kind of stuff. So I like that intermix, and it kind of went back and forth pretty seamlessly. And then you're introduced to the tramp character. This is the male dog who lives on the street and just kind of doing his world where he's kind of getting breakfast any way he can, kind of wandering around, avoiding the dog catcher. So you see both worlds, and they do end up colliding, as you can guess. The thing that shakes up the world of Lady, the main character dog, is... her family has a newborn baby, and she's sensing this change, and I thought this was done really well. It was very relatable. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a dog per se or a person, you know, feeling like you're being replaced or someone, your attention is lowering. I thought that was done in a good way, and I think, you know, sure pets feel this whenever there's a new, you know, a baby coming into the world, the family. But it ends up being a happy ending as the baby, and they're able to coexist. The thing that really sets the story kind of on its trajectory is when the family, the mother and father, go on a vacation, which I've never, right when the baby's born, they decide to go away for a few days. But anyway, they have an aunt come stay, and this kind of sets off... she doesn't really like the dog. She brings in these two cats. And then we talk about these two cats. So these are Siamese cats. And this is one of many kind of stereotypes that this movie kind of plays with. And the cats are like Siamese, Asian stereotypes, talking in a certain way. We are Siamese. They kind of look, they're trying to make the cats look like that. And so, you know, I talked about this with Peter Pan, you know, the distracting stereotypes. And then you got it in this movie, too, which it's very strange to me. You know, they avoided this, I feel like, for the most part in the first couple movies that they made. Maybe they just were going for a more artistic, less, you know, gimmicky approach. But now these last two movies, we've seen these kind of stereotypes. The Siamese cats. There's a Scottish terrier who has a Scottish accent, which is not... you know, as offensive, I guess, as the other ones. But you have this Mexican dog who talks like the Chihuahua from the Taco Bell commercials. That one was probably the worst. But, you know, I don't know how I feel about all that, you know. I don't really like it, and it is a bit distracting, and it kind of ages the movie. It's kind of like, yeah, this is how we used to talk about people back in the 50s. But, you know, they could have avoided it. I wish they did, or done it in a different way, because it just kind of ages the movie for me. I know they remade Lady and the Tramp live action, actually, recently. So I'd be interested to see what they did with that one. And I'm sure they didn't do that. So anyway, that's just a note about that. And then so you lady and the tramp end up meeting because she kind of runs away because the cats are wreaking havoc and doing all these things in the house. So the dog runs out. And you see they end up meeting, and it's, you know, him basically showing her the world. And so you get this kind of story going on between the two and the clash of the worlds. And what sets off there, and then they meet actually before they end up meeting again. But when she runs away to get away, that's when they really start their relationship. She has a muzzle put on her. The aunt really doesn't like this dog. So anyway, the first sequence that really kind of got it going, because at this point, this is almost halfway through the movie, it was pretty slow pace. There wasn't a lot of action. There wasn't a lot of inciting action or like stakes going on. There was a really nice but a good animated sequence of the dogs fighting when they're going after Lady and the tramp fights off three dogs. And it's a very well choreographed fight sequence with where you really don't know if he's going to make it. You see him get kind of bit and bites this dog. This dog leaves. It's done in a way where you're kind of taken along for the action. And I thought that was done really well. That was the first sequence where I said, oh, that was really powerful animation. And I was really brought into it. And then, you know, from that point on, you get the love story kind of play out. And you get that really famous scene. Everyone's seen it. I mean, I've seen it. Everyone's seen this, where they're eating the spaghetti and they're both eating the same pasta spaghetti, and they meet and they kind of kiss or whatever. So this is a nice scene, and they play that song again, the Beautiful Night motif, kind of brings it all together, and you sort of see them falling in love, so to speak. They go to this hill and fall asleep on it, and it's nice. Is it the best love story in Disney I've seen? No, but it's nice, and it you know, it's like that age-old thing where you have two different, you know, like Romeo and Juliet, two different sides of the world kind of meeting. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in the next segment, what that means, what they're trying to go with that. But you see that kind of opposites attract kind of thing here. And it's nice. It's a nice, sweet story. And I think works well. And they eventually get separated. So Lady goes to the pound. They show a pretty tough sequence where they take one of the dogs and, you know, effectively looks like euthanize it. And they don't show much beyond that, but Lady eventually gets free, and everything kind of works out where there's this sequence at the end where they basically, there's a rat, which is in the beginning of the movie, that tries to get into the house to get the baby. The baby gets tipped over the crib, and the tramp dog is blamed, and eventually he gets sent to the pound, but they rescue him and he comes back. The end of the movie, they're all together, and they have puppies that look just like them, and sort of ends that way. I want to just sum up the story right there, because I thought it was a well-constructed story. It had a beginning, middle, and end. The beginning kind of mirrored the end, except they had the new dog and the puppies. So I thought that was a really clean, clear-cut story. Pretty basic, but that does its job well. And along that ride, there are a lot of moments and interesting things going on here. And I always save that for the deep moment segment. So I just want to wrap up this segment and say, I like the arc of this story. It's pretty typical, you know, two sides of the coin kind of meeting, and it's interesting and it's sweet, and it makes you feel good. And at the end, you know, you get that happy ending where they end up together. But along the way, there's a lot of interesting things. So I'm going to save that for the next segment in the deep moments. So with the deep moments of this movie, going back to the point I was making in the previous segment about, you know, the two different sides. In this case, you have the upper class and the lower class. They're represented. Upper class are the dogs who live in these nice, well, upper class houses, rich, well-to-do people, very proper, have, you know, it looks like maids, you know, very well-kept homes, yards, all this kind of stuff. And then the lower class, which is represented by the street dogs, you know, the dogs who live on the street, sent to the pound, escape the pound, kind of bounce around. So anytime you're doing something like that, even with dogs, you're dealing with this kind of allegory or allusion to, you know, classes, you know, upper class, lower class, with human beings, with anything, and how they interact and how they look at each other. And you can tell from the beginning, the lower class dogs kind of look at the, oh, you got your collar, fancy, you know, kind of poke fun at them a little bit. And then on the opposite side, you have the upper class kind of looking down on the street dogs, you know, where have you been, you know, who did you steal from today? And there's these, you know, kind of assumptions from both sides. And so, you know, any kind of Disney movie, kids movie, is going to try to teach you not to think that way. And I think it does that effectively. I think both sides sort of see each other for who they are. And the ultimate sort of result or I'm trying to find the right word, but amalgamation. I think I'm misusing that word, but I like that I use that word. Of the two sides coming together is the Lady and the Tramp, you know, sort of becoming a couple, having puppies, like showing that the two sides can meet. And that you've seen this, it's very common in movies, books, TV, where two different sides show that, you know, you can come together. West Side Story, Romeo and Juliet, I can't think of all the examples, but there are there, right? And so this movie does an effective job, and it's not just them two getting together. You see, like, the interaction between both sides in several different ways. You see it with some of the pound dogs and the upper class dogs, and you see them interacting and sort of showing that, you know, maybe we're different, but we're the same species, in this case, the dog. So I thought that was a good theme. You know, you only can ask so much of this kind of movie, especially when it's focused on the love story and two characters of, like, going deep into that. And I didn't expect it to, and I didn't really need it to, but I thought it was nice to tackle that kind of idea or concept in a kids movie like this. Or, you know, Disney movie, I should say, but made for both kids and adults, as they would say. Now, what I used to do with the deep moments is talk about these moments that were kind of deep and emotional. In the first couple movies, they're in every single one. Peter Pan, there's a few of those, and here there are a few. There, and it took me by surprise. The dog fight sequence that I mentioned before was pretty intense. And that was a moment that kind of grabbed my attention. And then I talked a little bit about the dog pound and the euthanizing. That was pretty powerful too. And I thought the dog pound sequence did affect me. You see the dogs like crying and showing their sadness while in the pound. And you can feel it. And you kind of go, wow, you know, if I was a dog. And you've been following these dogs the whole movie. So you obviously, you know, been following what they're thinking about or what they might think if they were put in a certain situation. And you can see the hurt in these dogs' eyes and their body language. And it's powerful. And it's like, you know, made me think about real dogs in that situation. So I thought that was a kind of a interesting, almost humanitarian kind of message there. But it was also effective as a, you know, in a movie and a storytelling device, showing like where these dogs were and why they might be feeling the way they do. So that being said, that was a very powerful moment for me. The most powerful moment, and, you know, I'm not afraid to admit, and you know, this happens in watching movies, you know, I teared up, was when the big basset hound, I believe, is attempting to rescue the tramp dog when he's falsely kind of accused of attacking the baby, and they try to get the dog pound carriage to get him out. And in the process of doing this, what I thought, and I think the audience thought this as well, and I want to talk about this, is he was killed because he's laying on the ground. He's not moving, and the other dog is sort of mourning him, howling and trying to get him up, and he's not moving. And this reminded me a lot of Snow White, where Snow White, you feel like she's dead in the movie, right? She ends up coming back alive, but you feel the death, and you see the mourning of that from the dwarves. And it's so powerful. I remember that sequence still, where they're looking at her dead body, and that you feel that scene. It's not, and there's no, that what it does so well, and it happens in this sequence too, it does not reveal that he is okay or she is okay until later. So in that scene, in that moment, you feel like you're watching the death of a character. And that, you know, if this was made today, which I guess I could watch the remake and see how they did it, you know, they would say, oh, he's fine, you know, so kids don't cry or don't get upset. But in this, you know, 1955, they're saying, and I like these bold artistic decisions where you force the audience, especially in a movie that's designed for kids mostly, right, to like feel like I'm watching the death of one of these characters, the sacrifice that he went through. And I felt it. I really felt this. And I did not feel something like this in Peter Pan, you know, Alice in Wonderland. I hadn't felt this in a while, since maybe the Snow White or those early ones where you, or Bambi, where you feel like something really powerful. And so I was really surprised by that. And then, As I'm alluding to, this dog ends up being okay. So they fast forward time, and he has a hurt paw, but it's still sad. You know, he did all that for the dog. And that was, once again, showing the two sides coming together. He was willing to do that for this dog because he misjudged him. And that's the lesson that you learn. But that was really powerful that he would, you know, go through all that to help somebody that he really didn't know that well, just to help him because it was the right thing to do. I know I'm talking about dogs, but you can learn a lot from these movies, even if they're about creatures and stuff that we are not, because there's emotions here. There's human things going on here that we can all relate to, that we can get from these movies and from their actions and from what we see in these movies that we can learn from or relate to. And this was just really powerful moment of selflessness that this dog went through to protect someone he didn't really know. And I think it just hit me really hard. And I got really emotional. And then when I saw him, even when he was injured, I got emotional. And then he's there at the end with all the new puppies, and he's still there. And it just was a really nice ending. I thought this was a really strong ending to the movie. I wasn't expecting it, because about up until that point, it wasn't really a super emotional movie. The dog pound part was definitely emotional. But I just thought that this sequence at the end really hit home for me and made this movie kind of took it up a notch. And I think with that, it had everything I was looking for. And it definitely made me feel something I did not expect watching Lady and the Tramp. So I'm going to wrap up my thoughts of this movie in the closing sequence. All right, Lady and the Tramp, 1955, Disney Animation Studios. This is a movie that I liked a good amount. I never seen it. I didn't really know what to expect. I kind of assumed what was going to happen, just knowing kind of the premise. And there was a few twists and turns in there and emotional moments that took me off guard and made me hearken me back to the old school Disney, really powerful days of what they were able to do emotionally for adults and children alike. So I liked this movie. I thought the animation could have been a little more interesting, but the characters were likable, and they sort of represented their sides well, and we were able to see them come together, and there were some really powerful moments with that. So I would recommend this movie. And I want to make a note, if you listen to the last episode, and it's funny, in the description of my podcast, I say I don't rate these movies with ratings, and I did that with Peter Pan, and that was a no-no. So I'm not going to do that anymore, but I will just kind of give my general recommendation. I did like this movie. I thought it was a sweet movie, but honestly, it had some powerful moments in it, so definitely recommend it. And dog lovers would love this movie. I'm not necessarily a dog lover or anything. I like all animals, but I like this movie. It made me like the dog. So that tells you something. So the next movie is a movie that I don't think I've seen really, maybe once, but a very, very iconic movie. We got Sleeping Beauty up next. So this is going to be really interesting. I'm really looking forward to this one. I think it's going to remind me of those really old school days. I have no idea what to expect, though, because I really haven't seen it. But we'll see. I'm going to have an open mind, just like I did with this movie, and see what it has to offer. So once again, thank you for listening to the Bee's Knees of Disney. Keeping the episodes coming. Hopefully you're enjoying it. Trying to get through all the movies. If you like this one, you can subscribe, follow, but also listen to the other ones. I've done all the movies from Snow White up until this point, so you can go ahead and listen to as many or few as you want, and see what my thoughts on the other movies, if you like what you hear. Always appreciate you listening, and thank you very much.